We're going to pray before we start and move on any further. So let's just do that. Father, we're here for you. And we just want to just pause for just a moment. And we just want to focus our hearts and our attention on you, because you are the foundation. You are the rock that we stand on. You're the refuge that we go to. And you're the one who holds our lives together. And we know, Lord, that no matter what happens, that you're in charge. And we are here to follow you wherever you lead. And so we thank you, and we just offer our hearts up to you right now as we start this service. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now we're going to do things a little bit differently today. Normally, we start off and we worship right at this time to kind of prepare our hearts to be able to hear the word from God. We're going to do that a little bit differently this week, because this week what we're talking about is learning how to worship, learning how to grow in worship. And so we thought it would be better if we talked about it first and then did it, rather than sing and then talk about and then stop, okay? Now, worship, you know, you look at that and you probably think, learning how to worship, that seems kind of strange, because it's like, don't we just do that every week? Isn't that natural to us? But spiritual disciplines, and we're going to do kind of a six-week series here, spiritual disciplines like worship, like reading God's word and hearing his voice in it and getting his direction from it, prayer, service that's actually service for Christ, for God's glory, controlling our tongue, because the Bible tells us that that is a really important part of whether or not we are fully submitted or fully bowed down to God's authority, or actually worshiping him with our lives, whether or not. No man can control the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. And what comes out of our heart reveals what's in it. And if we are bowed before God and leading a life walking with the Spirit, there will be a difference in the way we speak. And so that's a part of our worship. And also whether or not we hold on to the resources of this world that we have, or whether or not we see them as God's tool to advance the kingdom. And also, forgiveness. Forgiveness is the heart of love. It's the most sacrificial part of love. And so it is a key ingredient of worship, and it is a key way to tell whether or not our hearts are actually worshiping and in line with God's. And so we're going to walk through, and we're going to look at those different phases. But today we're going to start, and the reason we've kind of switched things around is because when most people think of worship, they think of what we're going to do in a few minutes, and that's sing. And worshiping in song is it's a very important aspect of worship. We are commanded to worship. We are commanded to sing praises to God. And we're actually instructed how to worship in the Bible. Although, for the most part, when I was growing up, nobody really told me that. It was kind of like, you're a Christian now, you should know how to worship. And there are some people whose personality makes that easy. My personality is not one of them. So I spent years and years sitting in church services, and worship, what we called worship, was going on, but it was not going on in my heart. And sometimes I would evaluate the worship by what these guys did, as if worship is outside of me. And if worship is good, it has an emotional influence on me that helps me. But worship, God is looking at our hearts, and worship comes from our hearts. And I was not really participating or engaged in worship. I didn't really understand what worship was really about. And so if the songs were great and it caught my emotion up or made me feel better or spoke to my need, then I felt like, wow, worship was really great. And if they played a song that I didn't click with, you know, I felt like, well, worship's flat. Well, worship is coming from my heart, not from what happens on the outside. And so we want to stop and just take a look a little bit. And this is not anything new. And really what I'm doing is just pulling together things that all of you know if you've been here long, because how many of you realize we teach worship here every week? We teach worship here all the time. We talk about it all the time. We talk about how to do it all the time. We talk about what it is. We always start our service. This is one of the reasons we start our service. We start our service with enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. That is an instruction on how worship is done. You can't just do worship your own way. You can experience some benefits of being close to God and singing about God and things like that, but you're experiencing worship down here if you're not following the instructions God gives you, because with the natural mind, we don't understand everything God wants for us. That's why he tells us in his word. We need, when we come in to worship, we need to come in with a heart that stops and gives thanks to God. And that's why we do it every week. And many of you have given the thanksgiving, and you know that what I tell you is I say the one thing, I don't care what God's laid on your heart, I'm not telling you what God is thankful for, but what I'm telling you is you need to phrase it to whereas you are saying, I am grateful that God did this. Not that I'm grateful that Lisa did that. And you know, yes, I'm grateful for that, but I want to express my thanks to God, not to Lisa. And so we do that to kind of train ourselves to be able to start to think the way God is telling us to think. And when we come into worship, if you start the worship service off and your mind is in a whole bunch of different places, but it's not really settled on giving the thanks to God that he deserves and reminding yourself and putting yourself in a position where you really are stopping to think about what God has done for you and how grateful you are, you're not going to experience worship at the level that God wants you to experience. And a lot of times we see that because as we come through worship, you know, we're in and out of connecting to God, and some of us have been in a place where we really go through the worship service and we're never really connected to God. We're connected to the song, we're connected to the singers, but we're not connected to God, which is the purpose of it. So open up your Bibles to Psalms 27. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. But Psalms 27:4 is another one of those scriptures that gives us an indication of what God wants out of our worship, and it comes from the man who lived on earth that probably knew how to worship better than anyone else, and that was David. And God looks at him and says, this is a man after my own heart. This guy right here is close to my heart. How did he get there? Well, he got there by writing scriptures like we just read and living them out. And so this is what he says. One thing I have asked the Lord. Now, I know as we go through lives, there are a lot of things that we ask God for. And we're supposed to pour out our desires before him and pour out our heart before him. So there's nothing wrong with asking God to help you during the week. But when we come into worship, or when you have your daily worship time, and this worship time, this worship gathering here, we do this together. Because together, we have this atmosphere that's so much more powerful, and it's not just me worshiping God. I was talking with somebody just a couple of days ago, and we were talking about worship, and she told me, she said, well, I don't know how anybody else is, but I know for me, when I start to worship, everything is blocked out, and I'm just thinking about God and the things that the words are guiding me into to think about him, and I'm praying, and I just feel like everybody else around me is doing the same thing. And she said, I guess I don't know if they do, but I feel like they're all doing the same thing. Well, that's kind of the power of us being here. But it's not enough to come on Sunday morning and worship, and then we spend the rest of the week, and next Sunday morning, we got to get back up. Man, I got to get refilled up. I got to have some good worship when I come in here. No, it's to be able to help us to be able to worship without the body and that atmosphere throughout the week. We learn those same principles. And he says, this is the one thing I ask the Lord. When you bow down to worship God in your quiet time, or when you are here and you're getting ready to worship, everything's got to be cleared off your agenda, but one thing. You're asking God for one thing. And that thing is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And I love the way this one says it, because, you know, Jesus says that if you love me and obey my commandments, my Father will come and make his home with you, right? and we're supposed to abide with him, and he will abide with us if his words abide in us. And so what this is really saying, he is saying, hey, I'm doing my part right here. I want to abide with you. I want to be in your home. I want to be at home with you so that you can be at home with me and guide me. And so he's wanting to come and contact God, to gaze, some translations say, to behold the beauty of the Lord. So as we come into worship, our agenda is, I want to see God more clearly. I want to make my home with you. I want to enter into where you're at, and I want to see how beautiful and wonderful and gracious and merciful and good. I want to see how great you are. I want to see the glory of God. That is what we're seeking. And to inquire in his temple, or in other words, we want to get close to him, and then we want to hear from him what he wants to tell us about himself, about us, about what we need to do, about things we need to change. But we want to be able to come into a really tight, close relationship with God. And if our hearts are not seeking that, then we're not going to find it. You know, this band is not going to play emotionally enough that all of a sudden I'm in the submitted place to God where he can take me in his arms and speak to my heart. We have to come into that like him. Now, flip over to chapter 48. And we're just going to look at verse 9 right here. And this is another verse that I just love about the attitude that we have as we come in to worship. Oh God, we meditate, or we think about, we meditate on your unfailing love. Some of your translations say mercy. Oh God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. And my question to you as you come in is that the way you think about worship? When I come into worship, what I want to do is I want to see God in all his glory. And I want to be able to think deeply about how great he is and what his greatness means in my life and what his mercy means in my life and what the salvation that God has given me means to me. And I come in to meditate on those things. And I come in to experience a time alone with God about those things. Now, I'm just going to take you kind of through the first song, because we're fixing to worship. And what I want to do is I want to just point out some things to you that many of you already do. And some of you are like me, you needed somebody to teach you. And that if you do it, it helps you think. Like to me, when I look over these things, it makes me more motivated to do it better. But it starts off, this song that we're going to sing, one of the first verses is, let your praise be your welcome. Let your praise be your welcome. I want you to just think about that. If I came up to you, Kathy, and I just said, oh, Kathy, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. Oh, I praise you, I praise you. You'd say, for what? A lot of times we sing those words to the songs, but they're really a catalyst. Like we're singing, let your praises, our praises be your welcome. Those praises have to be specific. Those praises have to be thought out. It's not worship to say, I praise you. It's worship to say, God, you are so, so faithful to me. I cannot believe that when I don't know what I was thinking when I took this path, and I know it was the wrong path, and instead of correcting me and destroying me, which could have happened, you brought me back and you opened a door and saved me. And I just am so grateful that even when I'm not faithful, you're faithful, or whatever it is. If that kind of thing is not in the meditation, you're not praying. You're not praising God. And, you know, just to say that as we come, this worship service is set up to where the band is going to sing the song all the way through. I never sing the song all the way through with them. Because as I get caught in places When I'm singing places where this is what I want to say to God, then I sing that. And when I get caught in places where it's phrased like this, I may stop singing for a minute if my thought is too complicated, and I may just be praying, and then I join back in. But they've kept the song going. Okay, the song is not for you to sing the song. The song is a foundational thing that's being laid so that you can worship God. And sometimes I'll sing that and I'll be also thinking of things I'm saying to God as I sing it. Sometimes I just stop singing for a few moments and then I pick back up. But they're carrying the foundation for us to worship. And our praises have to be specific. And this is an opportunity where we come, where the time is, there's nothing we're doing here except that. And so our time needs to be on praising God. Let your breath come from heaven. I want everybody just to take a deep breath right now and hold it for a minute. 1, 2, 3. Now let it out. One more time. 1, 2, 3. Now let it out. Now you guys know that if you go in a place and you're upset, that's what the doctor will tell you to do. That's a way that we calm ourselves. And the idea behind this, let your breath come from heaven, is that one, a breath is you know, if there's a lot of activity going, it's hard for me to hear you breathe. If it's dead silent, you know, some of us, you can hear us breathe. We want God's breath to come upon us. We want God's spirit to come upon us. It cannot come upon us when we are distracted by a bunch of things. It cannot come upon us if our mind is filled with a bunch of things. You know, we were talking about worship with, I was talking about worship with somebody this week, and it was a man, and he said, as we were talking about it, he said, you know, I wonder how many times people come in to worship and they really don't worship at all. Because they come in with a bunch of things on their mind, and it's always on the back of their mind, and they get a little kind of a mindless entertainment and distraction when they sing, but they never really connected and praised and worshiped God. And so what we want to do is we want to be able to calm ourselves and still ourselves, and then we want to be able to hear and worship God while we're still. And you say, well, there's too much noise going on. No, there's not. We're going to worship here, and I'm going to come up and say a few things in between. Actually, I'm going to say just a little bit in between once we start. But when I do, I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to turn around and hopefully not give us any feedback because I'll leave this up here. But you know why I'm going to come down here instead of stay up here? Because it's hard for the band. You know why? Because you're looking at them. But this is set up so that you look at nobody in the eyes. And so you're standing in a crowd, but within that crowd, you should be able to block out everything but you and the Lord with the feeling that everyone with you, as one, we are all meeting and we are all focused on God. Our attention is focused on God. In order for us to worship, I want you to think about this. All of you have had conversations with somebody who came up and gave you a conversation, and while they're talking to you, they're looking over your shoulder, and they're looking this way, and they're looking that way, and you realize they're distracted. They're not really talking to you. If you do that to the king, that's insulting. You're going to get, you know, that's not going to fly there. We're talking to God. Worship that's distracted is insulting. You know, God not only demands our attention and commands our attention when we worship, He is worthy of our attention. And when we come to worship and we say, well, you know what, I would like to think about you, and I know I should be grateful for some things, and I know that I should be praising you for some of these attributes, but I know you're big, but not as big as these problems I got. And really, there's other things that are more important in my mind. And what happens to people who do not learn how to worship, because it is a spiritual discipline, we learn how to do it. What happens is they can sit in a service like this and they can daydream about all kinds of things, many of which are not pleasing to God, but all of which are a distraction to God. And so learning how to worship is a spiritual discipline that we work on growing in. And We're supposed to work on growing in it. We're supposed to learn to be still and to know God. And as we're able to do it in here, in this atmosphere that makes it so easy, we're able to do it in our homes, and we're able to do it in our car, and we're able to do it at work, in the middle of the office, when things are going wrong and we need a moment with God, we can find it. Fill our hearts with your life. When we're worshiping, we want our hearts to be filled with that connection to God and that awareness of who God is. It's what we're seeking. When the Bible says, seek my face, that's what it means. We are here for you. That's a question that you need to ask yourself as you come into worship, because it's really a little bit of how God is evaluating you when you come in here to worship. God knows your heart. He knows if you're here for him or if you're here for something else. And we're human beings. To focus our attention on God, that takes some discipline and some work. Let your shout be your anthem. And what that's really saying is, and you can shout on the inside without shouting on the outside. You can cry out to God on the inside without crying out to God on the outside. But what it's saying is this: your worship needs to be wholehearted. It needs to be wholehearted. God is not looking for people who worship him half-heartedly. And so when we come in, what we want to do is we want to be able to give the same attention and the same heart to our worship and that love to God that he is giving to us. And I know we can't ever match that, but it's what we want. Psalms 9:1 says this: I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. This is why David knew God so well, because he sought after God. And so God revealed himself to him. This is a verse all of you know. Bless the Lord. That means I want what I am saying, what I am thinking, what I am offering you in this sacrifice of praise. I could be thinking about a million things, but I am sacrificing what I could be thinking about centered on me so that I can think about and offer these praises to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and how much that's within me? All that is within me. That's what we're trying to develop as we worship God. Let my lips, Psalm 71:23 says, let my lips, or my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, whom you have delivered. And as we think about what God has done for us and how he has set us free and how he has orchestrated our lives when we didn't deserve it and how he has brought us to the place that we're at, and when we know the future of where he is taking us, it needs to well up inside of us to whereas we want to explode in worship for God. And that takes some thought. That takes putting our hearts into it. Your renown fill the skies. As we are singing this, and as we're thinking, is our thoughts coming, God, we want your name to be honored everywhere. May your kingdom come on this earth. May everyone know how great you are. May your fame spread through. May everyone want you like I want you. These are the things that we are engaging with these songs with. Let your word move in power. Well, that can be in a lot of different ways. My prayers and my thoughts might be for someone else. It might be for myself. It might be things that I need God to help me with, in getting my attitudes and my heart right, or being able to respond in a way I know that's difficult. Let what's dead come to life. Sometimes we come in and we're worn out. Sometimes we come in and we're discouraged. Sometimes what we need is we need a clear picture of God and his hand on us and his plan for us. We need the faith to know that God is in control. He's really in control. And we see him who he is, because when we start looking at those problems, God gets smaller and smaller in our minds. And the next thing you know, we're worried. And we don't need to worry with God on our side. We are here for you. Open your Bibles this last time to Psalm 63, verse 1. And there's a couple different ways you could thank, you could pray, you could worship with this verse, we are here for you. But I want you to think about this one right here first. Psalms 63:1 says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh pants for you as a dry and weary land where there is no water. God, you are God. I'm here for you. I'm here to meet with you. That's a part of where our heart needs to be as we sing these songs. To you, our hearts are open. These are verses right here that you can engage with, and they're written to be the prayer of your heart. So you can sing in a loud voice with all of the body saying, God, to you, our hearts are open. Examine us, lead us, guide us. Nothing is hidden. You see it all. You alone are our one desire. You alone are holy. You are set apart. You are different. There is no one like you. You alone are worthy. There's no one else who deserves our full attention and our full heart. God, let your fire fall down. Let your Holy Spirit ignite with excitement my heart to serve you and to worship you and to know you and to have you as more valuable and more important to me than anything else. God, let the fire of your Holy Spirit capture me. Let my heart adore. Let my heart awake. Let all hearts awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. My heart, Psalms 27:8 says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. So as we get ready to worship, what I want you to do right now is just set your heart to think about all the greatness of God in whatever direction He leads you, but keep your heart focused on Him. Come to Him with thanksgiving, with praise, with a heart that desires to know Him above everything else. Come to speak to God as we worship, and let Him speak to you. So if you'll stand with me, let's worship. Amen. Now, quietly be seated. I'm going to give you just a moment more to sit, because this will be the last time we sit as we're in here. But hopefully each one of you was able to kind of pour your heart out towards God and feels God's presence in this room and in your heart. And a lot of that is what we call a spiritual discipline. You know, it's kind of funny. This week we came in here to do this. So we planned the service. We decided we were going to flip it around. And everything was really going to center on us worshiping through music. We have spent 2 hours trying to get this enormous buzz out of that speaker, then over here. And we spent most of the time, we have no idea what's wrong with the system, but it was a disaster. We are worshiping. We turn the monitors around. That's all you're hearing, because the whole system is just... Now, that would be a difficult thing to be able to go through and then flip a switch and be able to be still before God and worship. But that's the test that God puts us through. As a matter of fact, in reality, all of your life is a test. And the important part of the test is, who are you going to worship? When you get to the book of Revelation and you look and you see why God separates, there's some that worship him and there's some that worship the world and worship the devil. But we're all going to worship something. There's something that we will pour our energy and our attention into. There's something that we will put first and we'll drop other things for. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to be able to have him as that thing that has our attention more than anything else. And I know the guys in the band, I'm not going to go through and ask each one of them, but, I guess I will. Did you guys worship? Were you able to worship? That's a discipline that's built. You know, when I was coaching football, we used to tell those kids, because, you know, you take a bus ride, a lot of people cannot play well when they're on the road, because you got 2.5 hour bus trip and you got people joking around, you got all this stuff happening, you're in a new place, you sit down, and a lot of times if a team is immature, they will not come out and play the same way they would if you had control of them at home and they weren't going out. You know, you have them in meetings, you have them eat together, you're talking to them, stuff like, so you keep all of that out and you lose it when you travel on the road. But there's something about being able to flip that switch. We're in a world that is pressuring us, and it is a distraction to keep God's will foremost in our life. And when we pause and we step back, what we're doing is we are worshiping, we are recentering, we are putting our focus on God. And our worship together here is a part of helping us discipline to do that. And I don't want you to feel bad if you come in here and you say, man, I think he's talking about me. I don't engage with worship. I mean, I engage with it in spots, and sometimes I don't engage. I'll tell you, I was the guy who came in and didn't engage at all. There was a time where I engaged with God and worshiped him during the sermon, and I would come, not when I came here, but when I was younger, I would come to church like in the third song, because that part... You know, I was not engaged in that part. I'd be daydreaming about all kinds of things because I didn't feel comfortable singing. I didn't grow up singing, and so I just didn't do it. And to get to the point where I realized, you know, yes, I'm going to stay in the front or away from people because I know I pull everyone off tune. But God is not listening to my tune. He is listening to my heart. So I'll just position myself where you can't hear me, but I'm going to let my heart go to God because he does hear me. And because there's something about worshiping and letting those distractions, controlling those distractions, resisting that temptation, not following that temptation to think about something besides God, and that's all it is. It is having and developing the discipline to think deeply about God and meditate about God while we are singing and praising him, to focus on God. And it's a discipline God wants us all to have. It's a discipline we can all have, but it is a difficult discipline for us to have, and we're trying to kid ourselves if we say it's not. How many of you have been someone or known someone that's been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years, and they read their Bible every morning because it's a discipline they know they should, But they have still never learned how to hear God in that reading. And it's boring and it's very tough. How many of you have known somebody who has started off dedicated to reading the Bible, and they have read the Bible, but they just can't seem to get anything out of it? And so they end up, you know, spotty reading it and then not reading it at all. How many of you have known somebody like that? Okay, you're nodding your heads? Okay, raise your hand if you've ever known somebody like that. Show this reading the Bible. Let me tell you something. God's word is for every person, but it is a discipline to learn how to do it. The problem is we don't teach people how to do it. We assume you're a Christian. You should know how to read the Bible. You're a Christian. You should know how to pray. You're a Christian. You should know how to worship. Nobody tells us how to do it. I think in generations past, they did. And that's one of the reasons that we teach these things over and over all the time. Because we want to be able to worship God and have our full attention set on Him. And that takes some work, and it takes some time to develop. We're going to sing this song, and as a matter of fact, the songs we're going to sing from here on through, they're all songs that were picked out because they are in first person, you talking to God, which makes it easier. Now, you can worship the other way, but sometimes you've got to personalize or change the words in your mind. I was up here singing one time, and I think Cassie was, I try to step back during the thing. This was before COVID, when we were all up here, and if you wanted to come down, you could still come down to the altar now, but I stepped back and tried to get out of the way where I didn't think she could hear me because I didn't want to pull her off tune. And I was singing, and of course, the words were declaration about God. So I was personalizing them, changing them, and saying, you are this, or whatever. And then afterwards, she commented on me. She said, I heard you. I said, oh, I'm sorry. But that's all right, because you can still worship it. But these songs, as we start off, this first one, it starts off, and it's going to say, I worship you. And what that means is I bow down. That's what it literally means. I recognize your authority in every part of my life, and I bow and submit my entire life to you. I am here giving myself as a sacrifice to you. And I do that because you're the way maker. The greatest example of that is when God parted the Red Sea. And all of us in this room have had God part Red Seas for us. And I bring those things to my remembrance. You have seen me through when I thought there was no way through. You have done miracles. You have orchestrated things in my life that could not have happened any other way. You have answered prayers that I really didn't think could be answered. And I've come to learn that you can be counted on. You are the promise keeper. Anything you say, that's how it is. And I can count on it. And I can follow you that way. You are the light and darkness. When I don't know what's going on, when I look in your word and when I see you and see who you are, things become clear on where I need to go. My God, that's who you are. And that's where we need to let that just come out. God, that's who you are. You're everything to us. And there's a part in this song that says Selah. And everyone in here should know what that is. We've talked about it before, but it is a word that sometimes goes by. That really means it's an instrumental interlude for you to pray and you to commune, for you to think, for you to be able to say, okay, I have a lot of thoughts going around and I'm praying stuff, but the next verse comes in right in here, and now I've got a little extended time to voice a little more fully the things that are in my heart. It's not a time to watch the band. It's not a time to go into neutral. It's not a time to wait for the next verse. That's the time that's put in the space in that song for you to make a more fuller prayer of what God is speaking into your heart as you worship Him. So if you'll stand with me now, we're going to worship again. And let's let God have our full attention, and let's give our hearts to Him as we do. There's something about worship. We worship the truth. But when we see the truth of who God is, it is emotional. And the things that I love best about worship are those times when I'm expressing who God is to Him
and it becomes so real, his hand in my life and his love for me, I have to stop singing because I can't keep the song going. And that is, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, when we love someone, we feel emotion. And if we love God, there's going to be emotion. And the closer we get to him, the more emotion there's going to be. And that is a part of what God wants. It's why we come to the place of saying this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. When we worship God, we feel compelled to give ourselves to him, to follow him wherever he leads, to do whatever he wants. Because we see how great he is and how worthy he is of whatever sacrifice we have to make. As we were singing there, it came to my mind the scriptures where Peter and Paul were in prison and they were singing praises. They weren't just singing "Row, row, row your boat" to pass the time. They were singing their hearts to God. And it's why they could trust him. It's why they could have joy and they could do things knowing that there would be persecution. They're able to offer their bodies as a living sacrifice, not because they know they should, but because they know the God that they love enough that they can't help doing it. That's what worship is for us. It's to give us the ability to be able to follow God. We're going to sing worthy of every praise we could ever bring. That's not just something we say as we're doing that. We're thinking about what has God done that makes him worthy for me? How do I really see that God is so worthy of that? Every breath we could ever breathe, every breath we could ever breathe is a gift from God that needs to be breathed back out to his glory. We live for you. Let's worship.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every name. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Thank you. on your love, because it is a firm foundation.
It is just amazing how, as you surrender your life to God, everything starts to become clear about your path, that you're in His hands, that you're just awakened, you're strengthened, you're refreshed, and you know that even though you may be in tough circumstance, which I guarantee you God is going to put you all in, and if you're out of it, you're going to go back into it, because God is continually using us to show how a person connected Him can conquer and overcome this world and have joy and have peace and have love. Because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. The only reason we're able to worship right now is because Christ died for us. We wouldn't even care about this worship service going on if God would not have captured our hearts. And it's His mercy, it's His love that allows us to enter His house. So with deepest awe, I will worship at your temple. That's the heart we're trying to develop in ourselves. That when we come in here to worship together, we sense the power and the greatness and the goodness of God, where we are awed. And we're able to carry that knowledge with us into our private worship. How great are you, sovereign Lord, the one who rules and is king over everything. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you. And that's the cry of our hearts and the gratitude we have for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made to open our eyes to see that God is not going to condemn us for what we've done, but God loves us and forgives us and wants to help us to develop into what He created us to be. What a wonderful salvation we have. So we're going to sing this last song. And as we do, let your heart go. Let your heart go to worship God. With all your heart, praise and give your love to Him.
darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope. Into your arms, the riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever reign. You are more than my words will ever. Say, you are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go.
Please bow with me and pray. Lord Jesus, when you died on the cross to pay for our sins,
that veil in the temple that separated people from your Father was ripped wide open. And you died to pay the price for our sins that we might enter into your kingdom, that we might be adopted as your children, that we might have your Holy Spirit come live inside of us, the Spirit that cries out, Abba Father, Daddy, that sees and feels your love. That's what you died for. And we are so grateful. And we give our lives to you because there is no one who is worthy of our lives and our service but you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.